broadcasting from the financial capital of the world. This is NBRFM, New York City.
Welcome back to the program. I am your host, Christopher Gorman. Joining me now from Port Angeles, Washington, she is the owner and licensed acupuncturist at Olympic Acupuncture and Wellness Clinic. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Patricia Flood to the program. Patricia, welcome. How are you today?
I'm great, Christopher. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to join us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
All righty. Well, why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So my name is Patricia Flood. I have been a licensed acupuncturist in the state of Washington since 1993, and I have been in continual practice since that point in time. I graduated from Bastyr University back in 1993, and initially had a practice in Seattle, the Seattle area, for several years, and moved out to Port Angeles, which is on the north end of the Olympic Peninsula, in 1997. The focus of my practice is traditional Chinese medicine, and which acupuncture is one of the tools in the tool chest. I also, in the use of traditional Chinese medicine, offer herbs, moxa, cupping, and a score of other tools in the tool chest of traditional Chinese medicine. So what people are most often comfortable with and familiar with is acupuncture. So, and it is the primary focus of my practice.
All righty. So what really sent you down that road? What sent you into acupuncture and everything that you're doing now?
Well, way back in the day, many years ago, I was actually working in Texas. And at that time, I was working with children and their families with profound physical, mental, and emotional disabilities. And it was at that era, back in the mid to late 80s, when deinstitutionalization was really taking place in that part of the country. And my job was to work with families and children, providing direct care and respite care and creating programs for those families. And one of the experiences that I was beginning to have in social services is that As we were becoming more focused on community-based care, there was also a lot of concerns about providers touching children and their families. And I found that to be a restriction working with seriously disabled children. It was very common for us to want to pick children up and give them a hug or hug their parents or caregivers. And as that reality unfolded, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me in terms of a style or a way to provide care to people. So from that point, I stepped into massage therapy school when I was living in Austin, Texas. And at that point in time, I met two individuals who had a profound effect on my life because they taught sections of Chinese medicine to massage therapists. And once I had that experience and exposure, I knew almost instantaneously that it would be my personal life goal and work to study, to practice, and to immerse myself in the study and practice of traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So from there, I stepped into, back in that time period, a gentleman by the name of Ward Tummins helped to establish one of the very first traditional Chinese medicine volunteer treatment programs for individuals with HIV and AIDS. And so we would go to a local hospital, literally set up tables and put foamy mats on tables and buckets of bleach water at the base of the table. And Ward would go down the treating individuals with acupuncture, and a group of volunteers, of which I was one, would provide massage therapy for those individuals. So at that point in time, I had an opportunity to really observe and watch another professional perform a community-based style of acupuncture. I also, at that time, immersed myself in getting care. It seemed to me that if I was going to embark upon providing a style of care to other people, that I should have, I should allow myself the opportunity to gain the experience in my own body and mind as to what that was like. So at that point, I engaged in going to acupuncture myself for 3 years very regularly until I eventually moved to Seattle and went to school at Bastyr University, which at that time was located in Seattle, and now it is located in Kenmore, Washington.
All righty. Now, for those that are just, you know, going to go direct into acupuncture without going around anything, what do you think the best course of training or education would be for them? What are they going to need?
I think there needs to be an exquisite level of curiosity about other. In terms of education, I think at this point in time, a lot of students end up in traditional Chinese medicine schools coming from a wide variety of fields. I remember there was even a gal in our class who was coming from an accounting field. But the real driver, I think, has to be a curiosity about traditional Chinese medicine, a real openness and willingness to explore a different way of thinking. Because I think that one of the key components of this system of medicine is that we think about the problem differently. And so it's not exclusive to standard medicine, but it is very complementary in the sense that if we look at standard medicine as seeing solutions to problems as more linear, in traditional Chinese medicine, we think more in connected ways. So to be curious about learning how to think in that pattern is probably a primary aspect that somebody would need to have to really explore, and a real desire to work with people one-on-one.
All righty. Now, where do you think you see yourself moving forward? What's on tap for you?
So I think that for me, what would be the bee's knees in terms of seeing acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine move forward would be for us to reach a point in exposure to our general American culture that Chinese medicine and acupuncture doesn't seem so foreign, so to speak. It has now been in the United States for well over 100 years. And in the 25 plus years that I've been practicing, it's a real joy to see people gain more familiarity and curiosity about how to use the system and what it could be helpful for. For me, I am committed to continue working within my community to expand that consciousness on when and where and how traditional Chinese medicine can be helpful for people. I often will see people when they reach the end point of their frustration with their care that they're achieving in standard medicine. They've been in painful conditions for years and years and years. So whether it's a low back pain, an asthma, an allergy, a digestive issue, whatever it is, they've been dealing with these things for many years. And they come into an acupuncturist's office and they'll say to us, "Well, I've tried everything else, and you're the last-ditch effort." And I'll say to them, "Well, if I had a quarter for every time I've heard that in the past 25 years, I'd be retired by now." And my goal is to help my community of fellow acupuncturists and Chinese medicine practitioners to really move forward our consciousness as a country that this system of medicine is affordable, readily available to many of us, and it can be utilized as a primary source of care frontline and as a first choice as opposed to a last choice. It can also be incredibly helpful for people in the recovery process from opioid addictions and so on. So my goal is to bring that consciousness continually forward.
All righty. Now, what's the best way for my audience to reach out and contact you if they want to find out more information?
So there's two ways to find me. One is at my website, which is www.olympicacupuncture.com. I always remind people acupuncture has one C, so it's acupuncture. That's my website, and I can also be reached by phone, and my phone number is 360-417-8870.
All righty. Well, Patricia Flood, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you so much, Christopher, and I hope you have an awesome rest of your day and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You do the same. And for everyone else out there, do stick around. We will be right back.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
680 to 90-10-4.
Order in the corner.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.